And if you have your Bibles tonight, turn to the book of Proverbs tonight. The book of Proverbs, we're going to be in chapter 27. We're going to look at one verse in particular. We're also going to look at Proverbs chapter 1. So if you want to have your finger there and put a bookmarker on Proverbs chapter 1, we'll be there real briefly also. But we're going to spend most of our time in Proverbs 27 on verse number 17. One verse tonight. I've titled this message tonight, this teaching, As Iron Sharpens Iron. As Iron Sharpens Iron. Proverbs 27:17 reads this way, As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. You might want to get your pencil out if you have your own Bible tonight and you want to circle and make a couple notes. That word sharpens is kind of an interesting word. You might want to circle that and write off to one side. Be alert. Be sharp. Be keen in what you're doing. That word countenance is also an interesting word. You might want to circle that. And write off to one side, surface. The surface of his friend. You see, we are to sharpen each other. Be alert. To sharpen the surface of each other. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight for just a few moments. Have you ever had a knife? Maybe a pair of lawn shears or landscaping shears or maybe some sort of a tool that you tried to use it and it didn't cut. Didn't work. You looked at it and you said, this thing is no good. It's of no value. What's wrong with it? Well, it needs to be sharpened. It's dull. It doesn't do what it's supposed to do. And that's what we're going to look at tonight in the spiritual realm, in the Christian realm. How do we as believers sharpen each other? I think it's important because of where we're at in our country today. To understand the process of sharpening of the Christian, first, we have to understand the sharpening process of iron. So how does iron sharpen iron? That's kind of a weird statement, as iron sharpens iron. How does that actually work? Well, for us to understand, we need to look back and we need to look at a little bit of the history of iron to see where it came from. You see, bronze was the material that was used for weapons prior to 1300 B.C., Before 1300 B.C., the metal of weapons was bronze. But you see, that metal was running short because of all the things that were going on in the world at that time. There was a lot of wars going on, and the bronze was getting used up as it was being made for weapons. So the Aegean people, maybe the Philistines, developed this skill for making weapons out of a much stronger material, iron. Iron weapons were so revolutionary during that time that the Philistines, they didn't want to share that technology with anyone. You see, they wanted to keep it to themselves. They didn't want to share it with anyone around them because it helped them to gain the advantage over all the nations and the monopoly of all those people around them. You see, if we look at 1 Samuel 13, 19 through 20, and I'm going to list quite a few verses tonight, and you can write them down and go back and check them out, because I'm not going to give you time to look them up. But 1 Samuel 13, 19 through 21 reads this way, There were no blacksmiths in the land of Israel in those days. The Philistines wouldn't allow them, for the fear they would make swords and spears for the Hebrews. So whenever the Israelites needed to sharpen their plowshares, picks, axes, or sickles, they had to take them to a Philistine blacksmith. The charges were as followed: a quarter of an ounce of silver for sharpening a plowshare or a pick, and an eighth of an ounce for sharpening an axe or making the point of an ox goad. An ox goad, something that they would poke the ox with to make it go. You see, that's how the Philistines kept the technology to themselves. They didn't allow blacksmiths, so everybody had to come to them for the sharpening process. You see, over the next couple of decades, though, that technology of how to make iron weapons leaked out. It leaked out into the Israelites came into how to make the weapons. They came into that skill. And sometime around the age of King David, Israel began making weapons for themselves. And you see, by the time King Solomon came around and he wrote this scripture here in Proverbs, the making and the sharpening of iron was a huge national endeavor that allowed for a lot of military independence for that relatively young nation of Israel. So what was the iron sharpening process? Well, it was carried out in three steps. Step number one was, first they would pound out the sword with an iron hammer. They would flatten it around so the edges were like sheet metal. And second, they would use an iron file or an iron or stone to create a razor edge on it. And you see, and thirdly, they would use another piece of iron to lift that edge and to make it razor sharp. And they would have to do that whenever that edge became dull. And maybe you've heard that saying, well, you know, he's lost his edge. Well, that's what it referred to. Referring to that knife that needed to be sharpened to have its edge raised. And you see, with Solomon, when he stated as iron sharpens iron, that was that cutting edge of technology back then. Anyone that heard that during that time, anyone that had read what Solomon wrote, would have understood and had a great image of what Solomon was talking about, of iron sharpened iron. And you see, when iron was around other iron, those great things happened. And when believers are spending time with each other, when believers are spending time with others, that's when that incredible sharpening occurs. You see, that's what we want to talk about tonight. It's not that we're going to talk about a form of weapon that has a razor edge like a sword, but something that gives us believers that edge. Believers are defined by the blood of Jesus and that lifestyle of following Jesus. But it's, you see, it's when we're around each other that we gain that spiritual advantage, that razor edge that's needed to be victorious in this world. And if you've been out in the world lately, you know what I'm talking about. Just drive I-95 for about 10 minutes, and if you don't have a razor edge, you're going to need one. Go to the store when somebody cuts you off. Go to the store where you can't find anybody to help you. When it's frustrating, that's the world that we live in. We need to have that razor edge, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight. 1 Peter 2:9 says it this way, but you are not like that. You are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. I love that phrase right there, God's very own possession. We are His possession. Do you think of yourself as God's possession? As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for He called you out of darkness into wonderful light. You see, as a believer, that's where He's called us out of. He's called us out of that darkness and taken us into that light. I love that scripture in Psalm 119. Thy word is a light to my path and a light to my path. I can't get it right here because I don't have it in my notes. That was off the top of my head and I didn't do it very well. I love that verse though, because that's what God gives us. He gives us that light. He takes us out of the darkness and He gives us that light. He gives us that light to walk in. Our passage tonight teaches that biblical principle about how we're to be sharpened. As iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. Proverbs is a book of 31 chapters. If you haven't looked at it lately, it's a book of 31 chapters. And you know what it makes? It makes for a great devotional because you can read one chapter a day through the whole month. And then when you get to the end, you can start over. And you can keep going around and around and around. It's a great book. It's about wise sayings and how important it is to be wise. And it was written as a way to primarily to guide us and to instruct us and to instruct Solomon's sons at that time. Yet if we want to live fully in God, we want to live fully in the Lord, we want to follow the way of Jesus, we'll find those general statements of wisdom and truth to to help us live with integrity and honesty and morality in relationship with your spouse if you're married, in relationship with your kids if you have kids, in relationship with your friends if you have friends, in relationship with your neighbors, your enemies, your business associates, and of course, Jesus. You see, if we're not in this book on a regular basis, we're missing out. There's so many jewels in the book of Proverbs. This is just one little tiny verse. But it just deals with how to deal with integrity. You know, as a salesman out in the field, I sell swimming pools. That's my business. And I go out and I meet with people. And a lot of times I'm competing against a lot of competition. And it'd be easy for me to cut the corner sometime to shade the deal to get that. But that's not what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to have that integrity. He wants us to have honesty and morality. I ask you to turn to Proverbs 1, if you would. Proverbs 1, verse number 7. I love this verse. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." I love this. There's a couple words in there you might want to circle. That word fear is respect or reverence. The respect or reverence of the Lord is the beginning. That word beginning, you can circle that right off to one side. That's the choice part. The choice part, you see, it's the beginning, the choice part of knowledge. And that word knowledge is talking about discernment or understanding or wisdom. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. That word instruction, you can circle that and write off to one side, discipline or correction. You see, the fear, the respect of the Lord is the choice part of discernment. But fools despise wisdom and discipline. You see, the book of Proverbs is right there for us to read every day, to glean out just that one little jewel for the day, maybe. Maybe there's just one little thing that Jesus wants to share with you, just that one verse. Proverbs is such a wonderful book. So the wise sayings begin with us, though, with us having that relationship with Jesus. So what do we learn about this wise saying of Proverbs 27:17, where iron sharpens iron? And how is that principle that we're going to be sharpened? Well, here are some of the sharpening techniques that I believe we can use. You might want to write these down, and you can go back and look at the verses later on, but you might want to write down, I've got six things that will help you with your sharpening techniques to make you sharper and more willing to serve and be ready to serve and walk in the will of Jesus. Number one, showing love for one another. Showing love for one another. John 13, 34 and 35 says it this way. "So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. If your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." That's a tough verse because people are difficult to love sometimes. It's hard. It's not easy, but Jesus commands us to love one another. That's how we sharpen each other, by showing love to one another, by coming alongside one another, to bearing those burdens about one another. We're sharpening each other. We're making each other better. Number one, showing love for one another. Number two, confession to and prayer for one another. Confession to and prayer for one another. James 5:16 says it this way, "Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results." You know, you probably wonder why almost every service we say, hey, the tithe box has prayer request cards on it, or you can email those prayer requests to us at forprayer@calvarypb.com. Why do we do that? Why do we want those prayer requests? Well, we want to be able to pray with you. We want you to be able to share those things with us, with Pastor Ken and I, because every Tuesday night we get together and we pray for those prayer requests, and then we pass those prayer requests along to our prayer team. You see, those prayer requests aren't just put in the box and forgotten. They're prayed over several times. We want you to share those things with us. And if it's confidential, put on there confidential and it won't go any further. But maybe you have a family member that you want to pray for that doesn't know Jesus, or there's a health issue or something else. That's what we want to know. We want to be able to pray for those things. It's important that we pray for one another. Number two, confession to and praying for one another. Number three, singing and studying with one another. Colossians 3:16 says this, "Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God." And I love this. It says, "with thankful hearts." Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. Do we come when we worship with a thankful heart? Oh, I hope we do. We had a great time of worship tonight. Thank you, Robert, for leading us in worship tonight. But do we come with a thankful heart? Do we come ready to worship? Are we clear of the things? And I know it's hard to put away the things of the world. But when we come in, do we say, "Thank you, Jesus, for allowing me to have this time to worship tonight"? Oh, you see, that's so important. That's how we sharpen each other, because as we're sitting next to each other and we hear each other worship, that's an encouragement. When I stand back there and I see people worshiping, that's an encouragement to me. When I see people raising their hands and really worshiping, that's an encouragement. And it encourages others too. Singing and studying with one another. I know there's a lot of people in here that get together with little small groups. That's great, because you're looking at the Word and you're studying it and you're sharpening each other. Number four, showing humility to one another. Philippians 2:3-4, it says, "Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others too." Helping others. Helping others. There's been a lot of times in our church in the last couple years where our hospitality group has reached out and helped other people. Showing that helpfulness to other people. See, that's what it's all about. Looking to others, looking to their interests, helping others. Number five, words and deeds of encouragement for one another. 1 Thessalonians 4:18 says this, "So encourage each other with these words." Encourage each other. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, "So encourage each other and build each other up, just as you're already doing." Are we building each other up? That's so important in today's world, because we get knocked down so often out there in the world. When we come in here, we should be building each other up. We should be building each other up. Telling those that are serving on a regular basis, "Hey, thank you for making the coffee and setting up the cookies and the tables and washing the tablecloths and working in children's ministry and going to the convalescent home. Thank you for doing that." Build each other up. "Thank you for leading worship." We need to be doing that on a regular basis. You see, that sharpens us, because we're there as part of what they're doing. We're sharpening each other. Hebrews 3:13 says this, "You must warn each other each day while it is still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God." Be there for each other. Be there for each other. Number six, simply spending quality time together with each other. I love that one. Colossians 3:12-13 says this, "Since God chose you," did you catch that? "Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." Verse number 13 is a difficult one. It says, "Make allowances for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others also." as we come together. We fellowship. That's why it's so important when we have fellowship time. We have fellowship time almost every service. We're either in the cafe or over in fellowship hall. It's so important, and when we have those times, that we meet someone new. Don't sit with the same people all the time. Get to know someone you don't know and learn about them and fellowship with them. And guess what? That sharpening process will begin, because you'll get to know about Robert. You'll get to know. I'll sit with Robert and find all about him, and he's going to find out about me. And we're going to pray for each other. We're going to spend time with each other. See, that's what's important. That fellowship as we come together for worship, for Bible study, for fellowship. You see, just when that knife or that tool isn't sharpened, it's not productive. It's not useful. It's not helpful. It's not ready. It's not ready. It needs to be sharpened. To be ready for life, to be useful, helpful, and productive in life and society, we need to be sharpened. It reflects the fullness of what we need to be. So to be sharpened means to be joined together and to grow to meet the challenges in life and to be ready for eternal life. We've been talking about that on Wednesday nights, the book of Daniel. Pastor just finished the book of Daniel. Going through the book of Revelations, we're looking at end times. Are you ready for eternal life? We need to be sharpened. Hallelujah. We need to be sharpened through our faith in Jesus Christ. You see, just as iron sharpens iron, so we sharpen or influence someone else. We sharpen them to prepare them, to make glad, to make them useful, to be productive, and to help them grow in their spiritual life. Are we doing that? Oh, I hope we are. So what does it take really to sharpen someone? Well, I'm going to give you three things it takes. I'm going to give you three things that it takes. Number one, it takes intention. You see, just as iron has the purpose of sharpening iron, so we have to be intentional about sharpening each other. We need to seek those out who can sharpen us and those that we can sharpen. Do you have someone in your life that you're around that's helping to sharpen you? Do you have someone in your life that you're around that you're helping to sharpen them? I have several people in my life that are like that. I hope you do too, and if you don't, you need to find someone that you can be around that will help sharpen you for your life in Jesus Christ. What is our intention for sharpening someone else? Well, the intention, according to Scripture, is to help that person become more complete and ready in every aspect of life. And who is our example of that? Well, we have a very clear example of that in Luke 2:52. Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all people. There's our example of someone being sharpened. Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature, and in favor with God and all people. You see, he grew in wisdom, he grew spiritually, he grew physically, he grew socially. That's the intention that we should have in sharpening others and when we're being sharpened by them. Intention, number one. Number two, in a relationship. You see, if we have an iron sword, and you have an iron sword, it will never be sharpened if it's not in relationship with each other. The sword has to be present in contact with the other sword in order for it to be sharpened. So it is with us too. You see, you can't truly sharpen another person if you aren't together and in contact with other and in relationship with other. I hear people, not here, but I hear people out in the world saying, oh, you know what? I think that I'm just going to watch it on TV or the internet today. Because it's easier, I don't have to get up, I don't have to go out, I can watch it in my pajamas, I can have my cup of coffee. You see, that's not the way Jesus wants it to be. He wants us to be in a relationship with others so that we're sharpening others. That's why it's so important that we come together on Wednesday nights and on Sunday mornings, to be in that relationship. You see, you can't truly sharpen another person if you're not together, not in contact with each other. That relationship is with one another. What does the Bible call it? Well, the Bible calls it fellowship. We've talked about that. Communing with one another, coming alongside each other. You see, we need each other. It's essential for us and the other in the sharpening process. Number one, intention. Number two, in a relationship. And number three, influence. You see, as iron sharpens iron, for me to sharpen this knife, I have to be in contact with this. It has to influence it. I have to be here. If I hold these two pieces out like that, they won't sharpen. This knife will continue to be dull. But if they come in contact with each other and they influence each other, you see, they will sharpen each other. But you see, to really sharpen, we have to do it correctly. You see, if I hold this stick like this and I run the edge down like this, it'll ruin the knife. It influences it incorrectly. So you see, it is with us. We have to be careful when we're with others and we're sharpening others. We have to be careful to influence each other in the right way. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says this, "Don't be fooled by those who say such things, for bad company corrupts good character." That's why the Bible calls each of us to teach, to encourage, to set an example, to explain, to exalt, to urge, to spur each other on with love and good deeds. The Bible teaches us to be careful in our words. And that's where we need to be careful, when we're influencing others. You see, that process of sharpening one another involves that intention, that relationship, and that influence. You see, we can't sharpen each other if we're being indifferent and independent and incognito, missing in action. We can't sharpen each other that way. We can't be around each other. We can't fellowship and be around each other. So what are some of the models for sharpening the lives of others that we see in the Bible? Well, there's a couple that I'd like to look at just real quick. The example of iron sharpening iron is in the Scripture. And one of them is parents and children. Deuteronomy 6:6-7 says this, "As you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to those commands that I am giving you today, repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road, when you're going to bed and when you're getting up." Parents sharpen their kids. And I think in a lot of ways, kids sharpen their parents. I know that worked out in our home that way. I can remember when our kids were growing up, we had family time. We sharpened each other. We turned the TV off at night when we had dinner. Somebody told me not too long ago, I was telling them what we used to do for dinner. We'd all sit around the table and have dinner with the TV off and we'd all talk. And they said, "What are you living in, the Leave It to Beaver area?" I said, "No." But you know what, as I look at my kids now, my daughter works at 4 Kids and my son is on staff at Calvary Hollywood. They love Jesus. And I know you guys have kids too that you've influenced and sharpened, and they've sharpened you. It's so important. Parents sharpening their children, their grandchildren. Older men with younger men. I like that one because I'm an older guy now. It says, 1 Timothy 5:11, it says, never speak harshly to an older man, but appeal to him respectfully as you would to your own father. Talk to younger men as you would your own brothers. You know, one of the things that I really enjoy doing, my wife and I go to a convalescent home every Saturday morning. We participate in a full service there. And I have an opportunity to lead worship and be around those people. And we've been there for a number of years. And we've seen people come, and a lot of times this is their last stop. And we see people come in, and I've got a chance to meet so many of the more elderly people who love Jesus so much. And I've learned so much from them. You see, that's what it's about, is younger men learning from older men. That's so important. I think sometimes we forget about that in today's society. A lot of times we cast off the older folks. We need to be careful. Teachers and students, Matthew 28:20 says it this way, "Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." You know, as teachers teach students, my degree is in music education. I never taught. I never wanted that responsibility to teach other kids band. I was going to be a band teacher in high school, and I came to my senses before I did that and didn't do that. So, but I think about teachers. They influence kids so much. Influencing, sharpening those kids. And then brothers and sisters in Christ with other brothers and sisters in Christ, or fellowship. Hebrews 10:24-25 says this, "Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together." Did you catch that? "Let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near." His return is drawing near. Pastor Ken has been talking about the signs in the sky. The signs that we see on earth, with signs that we see out there. If you don't know what I'm talking about, signs in the sky, you can read Revelation 12, and if you want some background, I'll be happy to talk to you about it. The signs that are out there. His return is drawing near. Encourage each other. Encourage each other. When we come in here on Wednesdays and Sundays, encourage each other. Build each other up. Sharpen each other. That's so important. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, "Encourage each other and build each other up, just as you're already doing." And I think we do that. But I think we can always do better. We can always encourage each other better. We can always fellowship with each other better. We can always sharpen each other better. You see, just as you've tried to cut something or to do something with a tool that's not sharpened, you were frustrated. You sharpen that instrument, and you think to yourself, "Wow, why didn't I do this before? Why didn't I sharpen those scissors or that axe or that saw before?" It makes it so much easier. And you see, that's what's so important for us to see. When we experience sharpening by those who invest in our lives and we invest in other lives, that joy that we experience, you see, is so great. We become more useful. We become more capable. We become more ready to serve Jesus. As we've learned what it means to be sharpened, the process of being sharpened in intention, in relationship, and in influence, I really think the Apostle Paul, our New Testament pastor, summed it up best in 1 Thessalonians 2:8. It says, "We loved you so much that we shared with you not only God's good news, but our lives also." Are we sharing our lives with others? I hope we are. I hope we are. So what's it going to be for the rest of 2017? There's about 5 months left until January 1st. If the Lord doesn't come back, I don't know. I hope He comes back. But if He doesn't, what are you going to do with the rest of the year? As we consider that truth, the principle of living wise, ask yourself these following questions. Ask yourself these questions right now to yourself. Who sharpens you? Who do you have in your life that sharpens you tonight? Jesus sharpens us. Who do we have around us to sharpen us? Who are you intentionally sharpening right now? Do you have someone in your life that you're helping to become better? Are you sharpening and influencing others to be ready for eternal life? Oh, I hope you are. It's a simple teaching tonight, it really is, but I really believe it's a teaching that we need to take to heart and we need to think about, to be sharpened and ready to serve Jesus more than we're doing. He loves us so much. He died on a cross. He gave his life for us. Are we giving everything to him that we can give to him? Pray with me. And Jesus, we thank you so much for the scripture tonight, that iron sharpens iron. Help us to be around others. Help us to sharpen others, to be around, to be those people that encourage others, Father. We thank you for your love and for everything that you do for us. As we have a little bit of fellowship now, I just pray that you would just bless our time together. Take us all home safe. Bring us back on Sunday to learn from your word. We ask it in your precious name. Amen.